Wasn't it a good service? Didn't I do good? She said, you were a model preacher. So I decided I'd get the dictionary and see what model meant. Small imitation of the real thing. So that's what I am. I'm just a kid, and I love this sign out here. Thank you so much. Now if I can find my Bible, if I can find my thoughts, and if the Lord will help me, I will say a few words to you today. But thank you for everything, but thank you mostly for your prayers, for your faithfulness, and for being here. For being here and being willing to do the things that the Lord asks us to do. If I don't tell you often, just know that you are loved. Now, I'm not one of these pastors that go off into the mountains or go down to the beach and plan 6 months of sermons ahead of time. As Chris can vouch, sometimes it's 6 hours before service time before I get him all of the information that he wants for these slides that he does. And so I don't really plan long term in what I'm going to preach to you. I kind of wait for the Holy Spirit to lead. And I got to noticing the other day a progression in the messages that the Holy Spirit was putting together. You know, from Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about remembering who you are. I mean, you're somebody special if you are a child of God. You've been adopted into the family of God. You've been blessed. And then from Exodus chapter 20, we've been looking at what we're supposed to be. We know who we are, but in looking at the Ten Commandments, we're finding out what we ought to be. And today, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to sound a warning. I want to sound a warning to you. Be warned. Second Timothy chapter 3, with your Bibles open this morning. Paul, writing to young Timothy, spoke these words. This know also. This know also. Now, if you're reading the New Living Translation, it says, you should know. And if you're reading the New International Version today, it says, mark this or take notice. So Paul is telling young Timothy, there's something I want you to take notice of. There's something that you should know, that all of us should know. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, I'm going to stop right there in the King James and read to you out of the New Living Translation. While you're looking at the King James up here, I want you to see how this other translation brings out what I want to say this morning. The New Living Translation says, you should also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. Aren't we seeing that today? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Aren't we seeing that today? Nothing is sacred anymore. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and we see that not only in the world, but we see it in churches where people are unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Then notice in verse 5 what he says. King James says in verse 5, but having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. New Living Translation says they will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like this. And that's what I want to sound the warning today about. Paul is talking to young Timothy here about counterfeit. And I thought that was a good story. I didn't tell her to do that story. I didn't know she was going to do it. But counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit religion. This world and our churches are being overrun in these last days by these counterfeit false teachings. Cults, we call them. And there are many cults, as you can see up here. Hinduism, Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, and I can't pronounce the other, and Ascended Masters, and the Assembly of Yahweh. There's a church just like that in Ashbury, the Assemblies of Yahweh, the Children of God, Christian Science, the Church of Bible Understanding, Church of the Living Word, Divine Light Mission, Ekinar, Foundation Faith, of God, holism, human potential movement. You find that a lot in businesses today. They'll call in these motivational gurus who will come in to get their company executives all motivated, but what they are using is New Age principles, and it's called the human potential movement, the International Community of Christ, and of course we all know about Hare Krishna and Jehovah Witnesses and life training, and of course New Age covers a whole lot of things, the Church of Scientology that a lot of our entertainers today are part of, Silva mind control, and sometimes it's just Silva training, and don't get caught up into that, Transcendental Meditation, the Unitarian Universalist Church, they're here. You've got one in Moore County, the Unity School of Christianity. Oh, they write some good stuff. You read their books and think that's just wonderful. The Worldwide Church of God, who talks about prophecy, Armstrongism, that's what it is. And watch out for yoga. I know you say there's nothing in yoga. I just go take some breathing exercises, and I go through these other positions that they have in yoga. Most yoga's okay, but you better watch out. Some yoga will take you just a little bit further where you open your mind. You know, get everything out of your mind. Just open your mind and, you know, that's what the devil and his demons want you to do. Open your mind. Don't have anything in it so they can put what they want to put in these New Age stuff. And then Mormonism, and you're hearing a lot about that today. But I'm just giving you this partial list. And all of this list I've given you, all of them, just about it, except for Islam. And I don't know if, Islam's up there. Just about all the other are wrapped up in New Age teachings, which is Eastern mysticism. And did you know, and that's one of the reasons I felt led to preach this sermon today, that many of our prominent and nationally known pastors and evangelists are being pulled into this demonic, empowered teaching in a very subtle way. I'm seeing it. If you watch TV very much and you go to some of these religious channels, you'll see some of these things taking place right before your eyes. People who used to be really solid in the things of God are slipping into this New Age teaching. But I'll not go into that. But Timothy, Paul is warning Timothy about these things. And over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, we read these words. Now the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly The Holy Spirit says it very clearly. That's what that word expressly means. That in the later times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, or a better translation is doctrines of demons. And we're warned about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. Notice what it says, be not carried away, or attracted to. That's what that Greek word carried away means. Don't get attracted to this. People get attracted to it because it looks good. I mean, you can come into a church full. You can come into a mega church and they've got some of the best singing, some of the best bands, some of the best music you'll ever hear in your life. And you'll just think, man, I have died and I've gone to heaven. It's so attractive. And very subtly, the pastor and the preachers will begin to drag you away from the foundational things of the doctrine of God and begin to bring you into this new age stuff. So be not attracted or carried about with divers or different kind, various and strange doctrines. That's teachings. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, that is, with foods or things which have not profited them, that they have been occupied therein. Paul clearly warns us, don't be carried away. But the question comes up, and this is the main thing I'm trying to get to this morning. Why is all this happening? Why, all of a sudden, has the Church of Jesus Christ, the Evangelical Church, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, Friends churches, why all of a sudden have we turned our backs and walked away from the clear teachings of God's Word and the doctrines that God has laid down in His book, and we have become so attracted to all of this other stuff? Why? Why are so many of our religious leaders falling prey to the teachings of these demons? Well, I can tell you why. Because the world economic and religious stage is being prepared. They are preparing the stage. The set master is setting up the stage. He's bringing on the different pieces of furniture, setting the scene for what's going to come when we have the one world economic system and the one world religious system under the Antichrist. And I believe that Antichrist is alive today. You said, I've heard that all of my life. But none of us sitting in this room this morning have ever lived in a time like we're living today. I know the Depression was bad. I didn't go through it. I was born during it while the Depression was still going on way back in 1937. I'm a 37 model. Did you know that? But way back then, the Depression was still going on. And people had it hard. But during that time, people didn't turn away from one another. They didn't turn away from God. They didn't turn away from the church. Fact is, the church and the Lord Jesus Christ and helping one another was the foundation thing that got people through this depression time. But now, in this day in which we live, you know, they're having this walk on Wall Street or whatever's going on, all of these riots because people are, I don't care, I got mine and I'm going to get some more, and if you don't have yours, just like one of the presidential candidates said, and I'm not going to get political here this morning, but he said, if you're not rich and you don't have all this stuff, it's because you didn't try to have it. You didn't get the education. Well, I've got a master's degree and a few hours toward my doctorate. But I'm not part of that. I'm still in poverty, so to speak. And most of us sitting out here still in poverty, according to what they say poverty is. But I don't know where I was going with this, but I just stopped right there. But I believe that Antichrist is in the wings today, and his entrance will be brought on by two things. The collapse of our world economy, and it's happening right before our eyes. The governor of the Bank of England said this, and I quote, "The world today is facing the worst financial crisis since the 1930s, if not worse. A worldwide economic collapse is coming. It's coming. It's on the way. It's going to have to collapse. It's going to have to fall. And then something else is going to have to happen. A one world church will be brought to the forefront by the devil himself. And those deluded people, pastors and all, and evangelists who have followed Satan's ministers." Did you know the devil has his own preachers? Oh, I've never heard that before. Yes, the Bible even tells us that Satan has his own ministers. Let's find it if you want to in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 13, in 2 Corinthians chapter Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul had been having a lot of trouble with the church at Corinth. You know, a lot of preachers use the church at Corinth to try to bolster some of their doctrine. But the church at Corinth was a church in trouble. It was a church that wasn't really following Jesus Christ as they should. They were following everything that came down the road. And notice what Paul said in chapter 11, verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And Paul says in verse 14, don't marvel at this, "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. "Therefore," Paul says in verse 15, "it's no great thing if his ministers, his pastors, his teachers, his evangelists, no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Paul said, the devil has his ministers, and they are working hard today, and this false doctrine, this false religion that they teach, will be the basis, the launching platform, the foundation upon which the Antichrist will come to the forefront and build his kingdom. Revelation chapter 13. Turn with me. I know we've been there before, but let's look at it again in the light of this coming one world religion, one world church. Revelation chapter 13. Starting with verse 11. Paul was having his vision of what was going to happen in the last times. And he said, "And I beheld another beast." You know, beast is something that's bad, something that's awful. And that's what Paul was seeing, something bad, something awful. "Coming up out of the earth," or the Greek here is "the land," which means the land of Israel. Paul, or John, the writer of Revelation, let me get that straight. John, in his vision, saw something coming up out of the land of Israel. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon. The dragon's already been identified in chapter in chapter 12 as the devil. So here we have a lamb who's speaking with the words of the devil. That lamb represents a church. A church empowered, a church energized, as I said, by Satan. And notice what he does in verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, which is the Antichrist, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, who is the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. Yeah, the Antichrist is going to get a headshot, probably. We'll get around to that in just a minute. But notice verse 14. This is very important. And he doeth great wonders. Oh, he does all kind of wonderful, marvelous things, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Where else have you ever read in the Bible that fire came down from heaven? You can read that over in 1st or 2nd Kings, where Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer and fire fell from heaven. It burned up the sacrifice. It licked up the water around the altar that had been built. And in the last days, this one world church that everybody will be flocking to will be a church of miracles. Now, God is still in the miracle working business. I believe this. I teach this. God can work his miracles when he gets ready to, but not in a wholesale manner. Just line up here this morning and I'll tap you on your head and you'll fall over and you... Now, I'm not making fun of the Holy Spirit this morning. God be with me and God be in my heart this morning. We don't make fun of the Holy Spirit. We don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But they are doing these things, and some of them are real, but it's not brought about by the Holy Spirit. It's brought about by this other spirit that you get... See, right here in this book, he speaketh and deceiveth by the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Ah. See the headlines now. President of Europe has been assassinated. Big headlines. Because that's who the Antichrist is going to be. It's coming out of the ten nation in the old revived Roman Empire. And the headlines will read, President of EU assassinated. And then wherever the capital of the European Union will be in the next coming years, you'll find him laid out in his coffin. You say, you just telling something that's not in the Bible. I just read it to you. I'm going to read it to you. People will be filing around to see this president of the European Union who was bringing the world's economic system together. He was healing all of our wounds. The world was beginning to be at peace. Like everybody had wanted. People were back to work. Everything was working good. And then he got killed. And he's laying on his bier. And they're going by to worship him and to cry and say, we thought he was the one. And all of a sudden he begins, his eyes come open. And he sets up in his coffin. He swings his legs over the side. And he goes up to the assembled people who are there and he speaks into the microphone. I am come to bring peace upon this land. I am come to bring unity. I am come to bring brotherhood. And the people will begin to fall at his feet and worship him as Jesus Christ reincarnated. Read on back to Revelation 13, verse 15. It says, and he had power. Who is he? That's that one world church. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the beast, the image of the beast, should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay. He does great wonders. Comes back to life. And that is what, my friends, is happening today. Don't get away from the Word of God. Don't get away from believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you say, preacher, how in the world can we keep ourselves from getting caught up in these things? How can we know what to do? There's something very quickly I want you to give you, and I'm not going to preach on it, but just give it to you. Number one, try the spirits. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit. And that's not a capital S. It's a Holy Spirit, which it's not a capital S, which stands for the Holy Spirit, but it's a small S, which means somebody like me. Some other preacher, some other evangelist, some televangelist, some church that great wonders and things are going on. John tells us to try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You say, preacher, how do we do this? How can we test the spirits? By the witness of the Holy Spirit itself. Romans 8:16, Paul says, the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, itself or himself, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know that we're saved. We know that we've been born again. We know that we're going to heaven, because there's something down inside here that goes to churn sometimes. When you read the Word of God, when you hear a song, you know that Jesus is there with you. Tears begin to flow down your face. You know that you belong to Him. And when you hear somebody preach, or you hear somebody sing, or you hear somebody teach something, and all of a sudden there's a check to your spirit, all of a sudden the tears are cut off, all of a sudden you begin to sense something is wrong, that's the Holy Spirit saying, watch out. Through the Word of God, thy word is truth. Read, that's why I push it so much. Read the Word of God. Daily bread is good. Upper Room is good. Books are good to read. Inspirational books. But nothing is greater than the Word of God. Don't just read a little bit of the daily bread and think you've done your scripture reading from the day. Be in the Word of God. And then pray for wisdom and discernment. Pray that God will give you wisdom to know this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul is praying, and in this prayer is what he prays for us, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you and me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Him. We pray, oh God, help me. Is this what I'm hearing? Is it true? Oh God, help me through the witness of Your Word and the witness of Your Holy Spirit. Can I know? Give me wisdom not to be deceived. And the last thing, and we close on this, is keep trusting Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, that old-time religion. Oh, that old-time preaching. You know, we don't need that anymore. We're living in an enlightened age. We're living in a time of I can't even think of the word. That's the reason I'm a fossil, and I lose my words when you get to be a fossil. But we're living in the age when, if you don't have a lot of alphabet soup behind your name or in front of your name, people don't want to listen to you. People don't want to hear you, because we want our intellect stirred. We get our intellect stirred and our heart is empty. We need to get back to where our heart is stirred. Our spirit is stirred by the presence of the Word of God. That's where we will not give up our faith, where we will not keep trusting the Lord. 1 John 5:4 says, for whomsoever is born of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes, and the Greek word there should be translated has already overcome the world, even our faith. We don't have to be, we may be attracted to some of these things, but we don't have to be drugged into them because we've already overcome. You are an overcomer this morning if you are a child of God. Know that. But know, you have somebody out there, Satan, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour or destroy. Satan is building his church. Jesus Christ is building his too. And it's built on the rock. And we have victory. Let's stand.